Yes! Everybody say yes! Glory. You know, while we were worshiping, the Holy Spirit showed me that there's an area where the Spirit will come and pick you up, take you. He'll take you. And he showed me two things. He showed me a horse, like, coming by to pick people up, but they're weak in worship. They're going, Then he showed me New York City, and somebody standing on the corner, waiting for to get picked up by a cab. And the cabs kept going by, and they kept going, Weak in worship will never get picked up. Somebody get it? The Spirit will not pick you up and move you if you're weak in worship. He'll pass you by every time. Every time. Does everybody get that? So don't stand there and go, oh God, that's just stinking stinky. We come here to worship till you drop. He'll pick you up. Does everybody get it? Man, you worship till he picks you up. Then you get refreshed and renewed, and I need the fan. Whew, it's hot in here. Hallelujah. Lucy. Mahi. Gracias. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want to get picked up? I mean, come on, man. Get picked up. Man, you know when people ain't picked up, they're miserable. Just their eyes on themselves. Their woes is measies. You know? But when the Spirit picks you up, joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And you know what the wonderful thing is? You don't care about nothing. You just run. Yes, let's grow for it. Amen? You got peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, and nothing matters. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? See, now you're drunk. That's when you get drunk in the Spirit, when he picks you up. And he ain't going to drop you, I'm going to tell you. He won't drop you. Just stop worshiping and you'll get dropped. You get dropped off at the next corner. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that is happening is, man, there's, in God's presence, there's not only peace, joy, and righteousness, but there's comfort. Everyone say comfort. And that's what the enemy brings us, false comfort. He likes to put things across our path so that we fall into a place of deceptive false comfort. And when we fall into that false comfort, disaster comes. Frustration, confusion. Woes is measies. And one of the things that the enemy likes to do is bring us into that place so we miss God. Because when there's a false comfort, the only thing a person's eyes that they're on is themselves. Because they're really seeking a comfort, but they believe that they're in a comfort, but they're deceived, and it's false comfort, so their eyes are always on themselves, and they are short-sighted and only can see so far. And it's always me, or I, me, and I. And didn't Jesus say you must deny your I and your me? Called yourself. Amen. Would you turn somewhere, please? Is everybody there? Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We know the scripture because it's happening. Yes. Everyone say false comfort. Man, we want true comfort, man. We want the comforter. But you know, there's something that the Spirit says. It says, don't grieve the Spirit. Does rebellion grieve the Spirit? You betcha, he'll back right off. And let me tell you, when you grieve the Spirit, and the Spirit backs off, guess what happens? Every other familiar spirit shows up. And likes to imitate Jesus in God's voice. and a person falls into a false comfort. Does everybody get it? We'll get more into this, but it's not about a feeling. It's about a knowing. And people need to come out of their feelings and get into the knowing. And there's a big difference. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, let's speak it please. Is everybody there? But know this what? In the last days. Again, are we in the last days? Perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times? If you don't know it, let me tell you, you're really short-sighted. For men will be lovers of what? This is false comfort, isn't it? Lovers of money. Is that a false comfort? Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanders without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Man, did you see how that all escalated? Till they became brutal despisers of good? Traitors now. Headstrong. See, it starts off with a little corruptible seed and begins to expand. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. That's lovers of the flesh. Having a form of godliness but denying the power. And from such people what? Run. Hello, turn away, don't associate. For these are the sort of individuals who creep into households and ministries and businesses and take people into captive and deceive and they become gullible. They load them down with sins and lusts and various lusts and they're always learning. They're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they're living outside of salvation's truth. That's lost, L-O-S-T. Living outside salvation's truth. Why? Because anybody can fall in that position of lost. Well, I've been a believer 25 years. Yeah, it's too bad you're still lost. Why? Because you're not walking in the salvation's truth. You're walking outside of it. So an individual that's living outside of salvation's truth is lost. They recycle. They repent. They're offenders not able to reach total freedom. Total freedom of what? Self. Total freedom of desires. Total freedom of wants. Worldliness. And they can't release demonic influence. They are recyclers into that arena. They're easy prey for temptation. Always losing their deliverance. Because of their pride and their mouth. Hallelujah. You got one amen here. Speak it, sister. James 4. Oh, snap it. People are getting false comfort in their governments, in medication, in the media. It's amazing how many people are still running to the regular media that's demonic. James chapter 1, please. Or chapter 4, I'm sorry. James 4. Some things just don't change, you know. Hallelujah. Verse 1. What does it say? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Where do these come from? Did you ever ask yourself? Who told you that? You need to ask yourself that every day. Sometimes everything that comes to your mind. Who told me that? Where do wars come from among you? See, one of the things the enemy loves to do is get us out of divine order. When you are out of divine order, you are open to the enemy. If you stay in that position, you will eventually agree with the voice of a devil. And it will take in. Now you got to battle that. Then he invites his buddies, and they begin to party in you. And the next thing you know, you're in confusion, you're in frustration, you're double-minded, you're dual personalities, you become bitter, you become envious, you can't keep your mouth shut, and you're cursing yourself.
Hello?
All because of a corruptible seed that started, a compromise that started, an assumption that started. Do they not come from your desires for what? Pleasure, pleasure. Is pleasure sometimes a false comfort? You gotcha, man. There's only one comforter. There's only one true comfort. It's God's presence. And he's called the comforter. Amen? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Is your thoughts members? Amen. Is your flesh got members? Amen. Your memories got members? Amen. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Are they looking for a fulfillment? Yes. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And they don't ask because they know if they know their asking is incorrect. They know their asking is wrong. So they just do it anyways. Because if they're really waiting for an answer from God, they'll get rebuked. But they won't do it. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your flesh or your false comforts or your desires, your pleasures. He calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Why? Because you and I are married to the Lord. Any idol that comes in becomes an adulteress or an adulterer. You don't have to go out and have sex with someone else to become an adulteress or an adulterer. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God, hatred? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Many people make themselves an enemy of God and don't even know it. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain the Spirit dwells in us jealously? He gives more grace. That's God's plan of escape. Therefore, he says, God will resist the what? Proud. So will a person that's in pride, in a state of pride, receive the way of escape? No. But a person that is humble, will he receive the way of escape? Yes. This must be understood. Therefore, do what? Submit to God, his rules and regulations, his commands. What? To do what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Does everybody get this? So many people are not submitting to the ways of God. Because God's ways are divine. See, what happens is a person begins to act like the world and becomes an enemy of God. He begins to react instead of respond. There's a difference. Amen? Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrew. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Let's start at verse 12 for a minute. Let's start at verse 11. Is there any verse you'd like to start at? Hallelujah. Verse 11, let's speak it. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been what? Trained by. So is chastening a part of training? Yes. So when God puts you on that potter's wheel, don't jump off. But it doesn't feel good. Right, he's trying to kill those feelings. Hello. Because they're what? Dangerous to some people. People make decisions by how they feel instead of by what truth is. Verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may be, may not be dislocated, but rather be what? Healed. Pursue peace with all people, and what? Holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of what? Bitterness. Ooh, springing up, cause trouble, and by this many become what? Defiled. So what will defile you? Bitterness. Amen. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his what? Birthright. You know how many people are selling their birthright for an emotional feeling? Look at what drugs and alcohol does to people. It's a false comfort, isn't it? And then the enemy attacks, and the first thing a person, when they give, oh, that's it, I'm going to go drink. I'm going to go have a joint. I'm going to go do dope. I'm going to do whatever. They're looking for a false comfort. And then they fall into something that can definitely harm them. See, once you fall into that play, the enemy's there. Oh, he just waits. He's come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He will tear you up if you let him. Especially if you know the truth. So I'm going to tell you, if you've been coming to this place, you know the truth. You give place to the devil, he'll wipe you out. If you allow him to. Hello? Because much is given, much is what? Accountable for. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. It says, pursue peace and holiness. Praise God. Fall short. We don't want to fall short of the escape with bitterness and fornication and become defiled and profaned. End up selling our birthright by breaking covenant with God. Amen. We don't want to fall into it again. We don't want to be a recycler. That's constantly recycling. Not willing to cooperate with the fullness of what God has for us. In Galatians chapter 5. Look at how many people thought that if they got jabbed with a vaccination, they'd be comforted. What a lie that was. Amen. Let me tell you, I know many people that have gone in and taken their family members out of the hospital so they wouldn't die. Snap. Where did I say to go? Galatians 5? Thank you. Happy days. False comfort. Think about all the times we fell into false comfort, you know? Hallelujah. You know, children are, they look for parents for comfort because they're little flesh creatures, you know? But once you become filled with the Spirit of God, your comfort is not in man. It's in the presence of God. It's in the Comforter. That's why he says, submit to the ways of God. You'll be able to resist the devil. God will reward you with comfort. But so many people are not willing to cooperate. They run to medications. They run to their past, which God has delivered them from. They run to look for sex. They run to look for this. They look to anything for a false fulfillment that is temporary. But the problem is that false fulfillment always has an ending of destruction. Always. Galatians 5:16, please. Hallelujah. Are we all there yet? That's good. Galatians 5:16, let's speak it together. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill in the lust of the flesh. Now listen, walking in the Spirit is not a feeling. So I'm like, how am I going to walk in the Spirit? You know, that's not walking in the Spirit. Oh, I got goosebumps all over. You know, a demon can bring goosebumps too. It's called fear. People rely on how they feel. Walking in the Spirit is not a feeling. It's a knowing of the reality of Christ and His presence. We had a guy one time that came into the ministry. Oh, he was trying to prophesy and everything. I said, shut up. Because I knew there were familiar spirits in him. So we were in a meeting one morning in a discipleship house. And the Lord gave me a vision of this dude. He was holding a teddy bear. And he said, that's his false comfort. I said, well, what is it? I thought maybe he was going to tell me to curse him. He said, that's a familiar spirit. He said, a teddy bear? He said, that's a symbolic. So I went over. He said, go pray for him. I went over and I said, do you mind if I pray for you? He says, no, pray for me. I laid hands on him, cast that devil out of him. That dude went to the ground. He got back up and he said, I feel naked. I can't hear God's voice. Right, because you never heard it from the beginning. I don't know if I can take this. Dude lived by emotion, didn't he? Lived by how he felt. His whole life, ever since he's been a kid. I've had God's voice all my life. No, you haven't. You've been listening to familiar spirits. Or you wouldn't be in the condition you were. You certainly wouldn't be here then. In the discipleship house trying to get free. There's something must be wrong. I was in my office 2 days later. He's knocking on my window going, I can't handle this. I said, bro, those are familiar spirits. You're just going to invite them back. I need to go back where I came from. You go back where you came from, bro. That's called an abomination to God. When He set you free from one place. Hello? So He never made it through deliverance. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get through deliverance. I mean, it's the stepping stone of freedom. You got to get delivered. And one of the things we don't want to do is open another door to bitterness and anything else where we need deliverance again. Or lose our deliverance. It's very easy. The devil waits to retake our and repossess us again. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. I guess we didn't get too far, did we? Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, which are false comforts, hello, are what? Evident, which is what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders. You know, people get false comfort in some of these things. People get a false comfort in murder. Drunkenness, revelries, and alike, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's pretty wild. So the enemy doesn't come up to you and say, listen, I'm going to attempt to get you in fornication, lying, cheating, outbursts of wrath, or drink today. He tries to set you in a place of false comfort, which will lead to those things. Does everybody get that? Amen? Oh, happy days. Let's go a little further now. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness. How about forgiveness? Yeah. How about control of yourself? Yeah. Against such things, there's no what? There's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its what? Passions and desires. We need to read that one more time, please. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Now, if you're not, in other words, when he's saying Christ, that means those who are walking in the Spirit. Not by a feeling or emotion, but by a knowing. It's different. He says, if you are walking in Christ, you have the dominion and authority to take over any area of passion or desire that wants to rise up and bring you a false comfort. You have dominion over it. But you must take it. Amen? You must take it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, and lose our deliverance. Hello. Amen? Praise God. Now, walking in the Spirit is not a feeling. It's a knowing of the reality of Christ in His presence. Those who walk in the Spirit are seekers, and those who don't walk in the Spirit, I'm saying, so the works of the flesh are seekers of what? False comfort. Amen? They're seekers of false comfort. But those who walk and live in the Spirit, they are seekers of the true comforter in fellowship with Him. There's a difference. Does everybody understand what's happening? Everybody okay? James 3. I believe that this is one of Satan's greatest deceptive arenas that he manipulates people with as a false comfort. Remember, we must make the confession. You know, you may get a check in the mail. Somebody may come by and bless you with a check. Might be $20,000, $30,000, whatever it is. It's like, whoa, praise God, thank you, Lord. It's still... Do not allow it to be a false comfort. Amen? Your comfort is not in your bank account or money or how much you own or what you possess. Your comfort is still in Jesus. And the more that you allow Him to know, Lord, You're my comforter and You're my fulfiller, He'll bless you. He'll bless you when you don't even know it's coming. Because He loves to do that. You know, and when you, if you're a grateful person, you worship, man. Why? You want to express Him. Man, I love you. You're my everything. You're my life. I love you. It's not that I need you. I want you. There's a difference. I'm in love with you. And His Spirit comes and picks you up, man. And you are refreshed, reconnected, and renewed. And everything that was bothering you is melted away. Why? So you can see clearly, so you can hear clearly, and so you can make the right decision and choice. Everybody okay? Oh, happy days. Good medicine for the heart is a joyful what? Joyful heart. Good medicine for the body. James 3:13. Let's speak it together. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who's wise and understanding among you? That's pretty wild. Let him show by what? Good conduct. Yes. That his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and what? Self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. See, when that comes into effect, a person has an I syndrome, not even realizing that they're putting themselves before God. So what are they doing? They're actually denying the truth and falling into a what? False comfort. They're rejecting the true comforter and falling into a false comfort. And I'm going to tell you again, the end result is always disastrous. Verse 15. He says this wisdom does not descend from the Father or from above, but is the earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who what? Make peace. Again, bitter and better envy, self-seeking, rejects the truth of freedom and accepts the false comfort from the enemy when a person falls into that place. And John 14. John 14. Hallelujah. 14, verse 15. Thank you, Jesus. I got up at 3 o'clock this morning, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me go. And He kept showing me all of this stuff. And during the whole day, it was like little bits and pieces that were just being released, 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 released. And then began to bring some other things to me that I don't have the time to talk about. But I'm telling you, this is vital. I could break down and cry and tell you how vital this is. Because Satan's greatest weapon is deception. And he'll do anything to deceive. And one of the major areas is a false comfort. You cannot have false... What's the word say? You must hate your mother, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children. Amen? It doesn't mean you literally hate them. It means that they're not your comfort. Amen? You can't let anything comfort you. It's offensive to God. And it becomes an idol then. John 15. Or 14, sorry. Verse 15. Verse 15. Let's speak it. If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper or what? Comforter. And that he may what? Abide with you forever. He is known as the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. So the world cannot be truly comforted, can they? They always walk in a what? They live in a life of false comfort. That's why their purpose is to excel in business as much as they can. They believe that if they get enough money, it has comfort. But then they're in fear of losing it. That's why you and I shouldn't be. If we get enough money, we don't care, man. We'll give it away. Let's feed the poor. Let's get Bibles in places. Let's do an outreach. Let's pay off mortgages. Let's rescue people. Does everybody understand that? Let's build the house of God. Let's build warehouses where people can come and get stuff. And deliverance. Stuff and deliverance. That's the name of the place. Come and get stuff and deliverance, man. The Spirit of Truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He came to us. He's released his Spirit. We have the Comforter. Amen? The Spirit of Truth is the Comforter. Anything else is a false comfort. Amen? Everything else is a false comfort. I need to go to a quick scripture here. It's in Matthew 18. You know, the Bible warns us that offenses will come. Amen? Now remember, offenses are implemented by the enemy. You have the choice what you're going to do with it. The word says everybody's going to be offended at some time, but what are you going to do with it? Amen? You're going to let it mislead you? You're going to let it bring bitterness and envy and so forth and whatever? Unforgiveness? Or are you going to allow God to deal with you? You know, what happens to an individual usually is because they brought it on themselves. Amen? Because there was an open door or something happened. Now you must accept the consequences. Those are God's chastening. Don't blame it on anybody else. Don't let the offense continue to create. Amen? Let God deal with you. Some people just can't allow God to deal with them. Oh, I can't let God deal with me, man. They won't say that, but they'll mean it. I got a life I need to live. You're supposed to have a life to death. You're not supposed to have a life. Your life is supposed to be in him. It's where people start fighting for their lives again. So there are times when offenses are going to come. In verse 15, let's speak it. What does it say? Moreover, if you're what? Is anybody there? Good. Everybody look at this and speak it. Don't keep your mouth shut. Amen. Speak it. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him and not the whole neighborhood. Alone. You don't need to call YouTube, Facebook. You don't need to do any of that. You go personally to him. Why? This is called divine order. You want to open the door to the devil? You get out of order. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? Established. Okay, so if he refuses, then you bring two or a couple other people to that brother, and you talk to him. No, don't go to him. You moron! You did this, you did that. No, you go to him. Brother, I think that you're a little out of order. You come in love, not in persecution. Amen? Not in criticism. Not in accusation. You come in love. Does everybody get that? You know, how you approach things is the number one thing. If somebody approaches me in pride and arrogance, they're not going to get my ear. You come in my office, you say, I need this, this, and this. Out. I don't associate with pride, and I don't promote pride. I don't even answer pride. I throw them out of my office. You need to go back and repent and try again. Hallelujah. There's that button. Repent and try again. Hallelujah. Verse 17. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the what? Then you bring it to the office. You bring the person and the witnesses to the office. Now you're in divine order. Everybody got it? Now, I'm not asking everybody to look out for everybody's dirty laundry. Amen? I don't see people go, well, why haven't you done something with this? Because God hasn't shown me. Thank God. When he does, I'll take care of it. But if I haven't seen it and that's not done in divine order, I'm not going to do nothing either. Does everybody get it? Okay. But if he refuses even to hear the church, kick him in the butt. No. Let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Now that's what you call a moron. All right? And that's okay. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So if they refuse it, everything else, let the church, the office, take care of it. Does everybody get it? But you can expect some kind of judgment to come down if they refuse it. This is called divine order. And if we don't start walking in true divine order in everything that we do, anything that's not in divine order is false comfort. It's out of order then. Amen? Think of how many times that things were going great and all of a sudden, boom. There was a drift, there was a change, something happened, there was a bitterness, there was a confusion, there was something that occurred, there was an offense and it wasn't taken care of. And then it builds, 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 and then a person becomes a reactor. Amen? Romans 2. Romans 2. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Are you ready? Praise be to God. Therefore, you are inexcusable. In other words, there's no excuse. Oh man, whoever you are, who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same stinking thing. It's called a hypocrite. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. So you can expect if you're judging others and you're doing the same thing, you will not escape the judgment of God. Everyone, and that's called chastening. Does everybody get it? You will get chastened by God. Something will happen that you will lose something. Something will be delayed. Something's going to happen. I guarantee it. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And you think this, O man, you who judge such those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God.
Hello.
Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. The quicker you repent, the less you justify, the quicker things come to an end. The longer it takes, the more judgment God does. But in accordance with your what? Hardness in your what? Impedant heart, you are what? Treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continue in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are what? Self-seeking, false comforting. See, people are looking for comfort in themselves. Think about that. I've heard people say, I need to find myself. Man, you need to lose yourself. But those who are self-seeking do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of a man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works that what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Wow. Judge others and practice the same thing, you can welcome judgment. Amen? I want you to understand something. False comfort is sin. False comfort is sin. Why? Because false comfort is the presence of evil. Come on, grab hold of that. False comfort is the presence of evil. Why? Because anything that's false is deceptive, isn't it? Anything that's deceptive and false is not of God. Hebrews 10. Hebrew. Yes. Hebrews 10:26. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Master. Everybody there? For if we what? Sin willfully. In other words, you made the choice to do it. God tried to get you to escape multiple. You said, heck no. Grieve the Spirit. I'm going to seek this false comfort. And I'm going to reject the comforter. You become prideful, and God will reject you. He will not allow, He won't promote the escape anymore. He'll just back off. When you grieve the Spirit, He just backs off. He says, go for it. We'll catch you on the rebound. For if we willfully sin, right, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, you are an open door to every demon available. But a certain fearful expectation of what? That judgment again. And the fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Let me tell you something. In this area, depending where you are, what you've done, what you're doing, that judgment can last for a period of time. It's not a one-time event. It could go on for months. Does everybody understand? Sometimes it can go on for years. Hello? Verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Now, when I speak about the judgment of God in this area, because we are still his children, he's talking about the chastening can go on for a period of time. And sometimes the chastening to me and you is not getting the things that we wanted. Hello? the things that we worked for, the rewards that we've now missed, the delays of many things. But you must be patient and endure and let God keep you on that potter's wheel so he can break you down and remold you. Why? Because he's coming back for a pure church, a blemish-free church. Hallelujah. Listen, false comfort is sin. Rebellion is sin. Amen? Same thing. Proverbs 29. And don't look for man to rescue you, none. Man can't rescue you. Man cannot change God's judgment and chastening. Does everybody understand that? The more you sow in the Spirit, the better. The more you submit, it becomes shorter. Proverbs 29. Hallelujah. And there's no but ministry in repentance. There's no but. There's no justification. Man, when a person justifies, I always sense the judgment expands. When a person begins to blame somebody else, that judgment expands longer. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Hallelujah. Where there is no revelation, people cast off the restraints of their flesh. Now, in this, where there's no revelation, what is revelation? It is the reality of Christ's presence, power, and character. So many people think, revelation is just big. Oh, I got revelation today. Most of the time, it's illumination. Revelation is where you come to a place of reality. When Peter got revelation from the Lord, he was the what? Christ. Does everybody get it? He was the what? The Christ. Man, he's the Christ, the anointed one. That revelation brought a reality to him. He was in the presence of the eternal God Almighty. That's called revelation. Hello. Now, I got revelation. I need to buy a red car today. Revelation, okay. Revelation has to do with the reality of Christ. His presence and power. I hear people to say, oh, yeah, I got revelation, got revelation. Really? What did Jesus show you? Well, he showed me there's a difference. Listen, when you get revelation, it should change you. Why? Because it brings a reality. Revelation will change your heart. Sometimes it will turn your heart. It will melt you. When you get revelation, true revelation, just like Peter got, it changed him. And then what did Jesus say? And on you are known as Peter, and on this rock I will what? On that revelation, who I am, this whole realm of Jesus and his kingdom, the anointed one and his anointing, his presence, his character, and his glory, I'm going to build my church. That's revelation. Snap. Is everybody okay? No revelation will bring a false reality. Why? Because there's no restraint. Amen? It will bring a false reality, false comfort, losing restraints of emotions and flesh. Hello. There'll be no restraint. Now a person is looking for comfort in their feelings instead of looking for comfort in the presence of God. Does everybody get this? They will seek revelation trying to get comfort, but only Jesus releases revelation. Oh, Proverbs, Psalm something. Psalm 94. Glory. Verse 18 and 19. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my, what, anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. So when you are in anxiety, you know, when you're stressed out, who's there to comfort you? You know what you have to do? You step out of the anxiety. I call it the puddle of affliction. You can stay in there and splash in it all you want. It's the puddle of affliction. Or you can step out. Shake off the dust and get in God's presence of comfort. Does everybody get that? Praise God. He says, your comforts will delight my soul. In 2 Corinthians 6. Does this take practice? Yes. God knows you won't get it overnight, but he expects you to get it in a couple days. It takes practice. He's very merciful. But don't trample his mercy. In verse 11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. But you are restricted by your own emotions, affections, desires, false comforts. Does everybody see that? Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be what? Open to this. Restricted by feelings of emotions, of false comforts, familiar spirits, worldly desires that interrupt the will of God. Look at, there's something you must always know. God never interrupts himself. Never. If he says, listen, I want you to do this course, you do it. Why? Because he knows that by the end of it, you're going to be free. But if you skip it, you run out, as you're being led out by emotion, a false comfort. Oh, you can repent, but you're going to reap. Nobody outruns a reaper. Amen? You will reap. God will use it to train you. But why prolong things? Amen? Let's do it right. And know that God never interrupts himself. Does everybody understand that? Never. He's a good daddy. He wouldn't send you on a mission to do something and interrupt it. Because God never interrupts himself or sends you back to false comfort. Never. But so many people run to false comfort because they live by their emotions and not by the truth. Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Glory! And verse 7, Philippians 3, 7. Let's speak this together, please. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now that's the revelation of Christ, man. I counted all loss. I had to know him. Man, when I had the visit from the Lord, I was fulfilled. I could have gone home that day. I mean this home, heaven home. I didn't need to do anything to be fulfilled. I was done. In fact, I thought I was done. I thought I was going to go home. But he said, not now. In that presence and in that glory, you are fulfilled. You are comforted. But the enemy will show up as soon as you come out of God's presence. Hey, I got something to offer you. Just like you're trying to get off of drugs, and once you start getting clean, then every dope dealer calls you. Somehow they got a hold of you. You get a hold of them. Come out in the name of Jesus. Where are we at now? Philippians 3, 7. Did we do that yet? Yes. Verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of our Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as what? Rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now listen, when you fall into false comfort, God is going to bring you through the process to cut them loose. Amen? How many of y'all know emotional attachments are false comforts also? Amen? And be found where? Verse 9. In Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may what? Know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I do something. I press on. I don't look back, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehended, but one thing I do is what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are what? Ahead. And that's what we have to do when we blow it. Amen? Press forward and don't go backwards. 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the physical realm, I don't like using the word flesh here because that's false comfort. Amen. But we walk in the physical realm. They really need to change this in the Bible. Because we're not walking in the flesh, are we? Amen. We're living in a physical realm where there's flesh all around us. But not us. Amen. We're walking in the spirit. We do not war according to the carnal or the fleshly things. And then he confirms it in the next one. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal. Hello, I wish he would have put that in the first one. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A memory lie. Casting down arguments. Where's the argument? In your thoughts. If people would really monitor their thoughts and cast down these things, they wouldn't have problems instead of agreeing with everything they think. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to do what? Punish. That means remove, destroy. All disobedience when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. I'm telling you, if people would think before they speak, sheesh, they wouldn't be spitting on everybody. All the garbage. All the opinions. Well, this is how I feel. Who cares how you feel? Go to the Lord and tell Him how you feel. Don't spew on everybody else. Amen? Cast down the voice of the stranger and false comfort of the worldly lust. John chapter 10. And then one more scripture. False comforts. Thank you, Master. Verse 1. Let's speak it, please. Are you learning something tonight? Me too. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter into the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know the voice of God. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. In other words, so many times people are looking for a voice, and there's nothing. Okay, I don't know how to put this, but it's not always looking for a voice. You're looking for the unction of the voice. Now, don't get me wrong. You could be sleeping. I've slept, and I've heard the voice of the Lord. He's woken me up. Guy, what? I could be in my living room one day, and I was just laying there, almost dozing off. All of a sudden, I heard, Guy. I said, yes, Lord. And he called me to come and pray. And there's times when he called me to pray, and I've come upstairs and said, what's going on? He says, I just wanted to know if you'd come. Okay, cool. But there's an unction. There's a knowing. It's not always here. People that always, God, here. It ain't. Hello? You be careful. It's a leading. It's a knowing. It's a heart. Does everybody get this? Hallelujah. It's a leading of the true comforter into a true reality all the time. Because what we will always have is peace, not torment. Amen? I'm going to close at 1 Timothy 6. Maybe. Oh, I won't. I didn't want other scripture. Sorry. And I skipped something somewhere here. I guess I did it on purpose. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, revelry, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, but we brought nothing into this world, and as certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith, in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man and woman of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness and godliness, faith and love and patience. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Corrupt thoughts, love of money, false comfort. I'm going to close at Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 7. We there? I got a yeah, no. Psalm 16, verse 7. Let's speak it. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Did you get counsel tonight? Yeah. Amen. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now check that out. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol or in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Those are true comforts from God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Papa, that in your word that has been released tonight, that you will prepare us from the deceiving false comforters that will come and try and lead us out of the true comfort. Lord, we ask that you keep us hidden in the secret places these calamities pass us by, that we may be sons and daughters that please you in everything we do, not allowing the enemy to interrupt your call and purpose and destiny for us. Not being led by feelings, but being led by the truth and the true comforter. We promise to give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.